we've got what we're dealing with today, bread. And this bread, conclusion of the series on symbols, really is a culminating point, because every element we've talked about really goes into making bread. And I think it's one of the reasons why Jesus referred to bread several times in Scripture. You've got the ground, the soils that was necessary to create the seed and the wheat and everything that went in here. And then wind or air is necessary to cause the, you know, the stuff to rise. And then fire obviously cooks it and heats it up. Water is involved in mixing all of these ingredients, and at the end what you come to is bread. And this is what we're going to be talking about today, is how this is the basic sustenance for life, and how Jesus talked about, if you want basic sustenance, you must come to me. And a lot of us are in different places with that. Some of us are just the beginning of trying to figure out who Jesus is, and others of us are close to saying, man, I'd like you in my life. And others of us are really have Christ in our life, and we're trying to figure out how that can have an impact on us. And all of us are going to be able to go to a new place today. And in large part, we're going to be helped to do that as a result of a guest we have today. Got a friend of mine and become a friend of Crossroads is with us today, Titus Sithole, all the way from South Africa to be with us today. And he was here several months ago, and actually I did a series or a service on Libby and my travels over in South Africa a few months ago, and we realized that about 25% of everybody who's here today, as a result of attendance growth or just you happen to miss that day, about 25% of us never understood or saw the video that we showed that was related to our trip in Africa, where we were exploring a partnership. We were exploring at that point. Now we have one between our church and a church in South Africa, Titus Sithole's church. And so just before he comes up and he talks with us, we talk together about bread, I thought it'd be really cool to take a look at that that video. And before we do that, I just want to make sure you realize that this is an accurate depiction of how we spend our time in South Africa. And it's not what all of South Africa is like, but it's what Libby and I were doing in South Africa while we were there. And you're also going to see some really heartwarming or heart-wrenching images, depending on, you know, which part of the video it is. I want to make sure that you realize that there's no ask today. I'm not going to come up afterwards and say, and for just 39 cents a day, you too can make an... that's not going to be the case at all. But let's take a look at this video just to catch us all up as far as the partnership that we have with South Africa. And then we'll continue on today. Let's take a look at this.
Everybody must go for water. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm taking some food.
You getting some food?
I'm taking these things, the cabbage and the things there.
Have there been other Christians or a church at all that's been a help to you?
Yes, there's this church is helping me, and there's this other lady next door to my house, which is also helping me.
So when you think about the church, what do you think of when you think of the church?
I think of God, and I think that if I go to church, I'm going to get
she's asking the American church and people to help her with medicine and with food parcels, above all that they will pray for her so that she will be strong. And so she's asking more of prayers than any other thing.
This is Mama. Well, why don't you tell everybody your name? What's your name?
Michelle.
And what is the best thing that we can do for you?
Just money. To buy healthy food.
What What is one thing that you think that that Americans know should know about people like yourself? Is there anything you do you think we should know about people like you or you?
Yeah, they must help us.
Lord, I thank you so much for this precious child of yours. She is your child, God. She is your child. And I pray that she would feel that. Feel that she, in the midst of her pain, in the midst of her physical difficulty, she would feel spiritual comfort from you, and she could feel your warm arms wrap around her and comfort her in ways that no medicine can comfort her. And at the same time, we pray that you give her physical comfort. We pray that we'd be able to get the right foods for her, and we'd be able to do everything that needs to happen to make her as comfortable as possible. And Jesus, we know that you have power that we don't have. We know that you do. And if you would come and bring it here, we would appreciate that very much. That is a God thing.
Wow.
Oh, man. That is a God thing.
Man, what is this man? This money.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise God.
This is special to me, I tell you.
This
Please welcome Titus Atole to our stage today.
Thank you.
Titus went through the effort of trying to put some notes in your program that we were going to be using, and you can try your best to fill in those notes if you want, but it's really not going to work. I'll tell you right now, we've kind of been all over the map. Every time we get together, we talk about different things. So those of you who were... As I was trying to tell Titus, I was trying to describe to Titus what anal is yesterday, and it wasn't working. You don't know what anal is. Those of us who are anal, don't try to fill in the blanks today. And I also encourage you, don't try to describe to people back home what anal is either.
Right.
It's not kind of. I didn't even try telling you. But speaking of languages, how many languages do you know?
So South Africa, we have 12 official languages, and I can speak 9 of those.
9. I can't even speak one. we're talking about the bread of life, and we wanted you to come in to talk about bread because we think that you and some of your experiences in South Africa, you've got some unique things that you can share with us. So let's talk about this a little bit. What's the symbolism of bread?
In the context that Jesus was talking about bread, as we have seen on the screen, he just fed 5,000 people. And the next day they brought too many people coming to eat bread. And Jesus turned and said, I'm the bread of life. Now, he was saying that because in the Jewish culture, he was drawing from the Jewish culture. They were very much accustomed to bread. And many a times God used bread to communicate to the Jews. For instance, when they were on their way to Egypt, he sent bread from heaven, manna. For 40 years, every morning they had to get that bread, which sustained them throughout the 40 years. And so when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, they could relate to that.
Mm. So bread is the base for, in the Jewish context, bread was their basic sustenance for life.
That's right.
Whereas, you know, here in America, it's probably Starbucks. It's our basic sustenance. Now, I think it's interesting when we were over in South Africa hanging out with you, and we spent a week at your house or so. And by the way, I didn't make another introduction. Your lovely wife, Eleanor, is here. Everyone, welcome. Is this, stand up, Eleanor. Is she not doing with us, Eleanor? You know, it's such a great thing when you get outside of your comfort zone. Your comfort zone is the zone you always live in because that's where you're comfortable. And it's such a great thing when you get outside of your zone, or in my context, America, to find out that God is not American. You know, that's really shocking to some of us. He's not an American. And you see what God is doing in other cultures and other ways. And I found out that when I was over there, Libby and I were over there, that you have this ability to trust in God for basic sustenance, that many of us don't have that ability because we don't have to do it.
Right. God has always used, or when people are needy and poor, their only hope becomes God because they don't trust anything. And so in Africa, and talking about South Africa today, when we are in need or in lack or we are ill, you know, we will turn to God. And so I remember this particular day, we were having a conference and we didn't have the money to buy a cow because we had to feed everybody. People walk long distance to come to church. And so we will start at 8 and end around 9 in the evening. And so we had to feed people. And so we didn't have the money to buy a cow. So we prayed, my wife and I, we prayed asking God to provide the money, however he will do it, you know, we trusted him. And before the day was over, a friend of mine called and said, Titus, I've got a zebra for you.
A zebra,
yes.
He shot it. He was out.
Yeah, he's a hunter, he shot a zebra.
Now this is not, by the way, for you, a lot of us just think, whoa, Africans, you guys eat zebra all the time. Zebra's not like African.
No. We eat a beef, so not zebra. Okay. So he went to hunt, and then he brought zebra into the township. They don't even live in the township. You have to go way out, you know. So when he called us, my wife and I, we began to thank God for providing. Because we knew that this was an answer to prayer. And so on Sunday, she and other women, they cooked, and we fed.
Now cooked, as in like black and white thing. There you go. Put it over the fire. Figure this out. That's what I mean.
No. They put curry and spice, and they okay. did.
But a whole zebra's there for them to like figure out and how to cook.
Well, they chopped it up and stuff, you know. So anyway, then we fed the people, and before the service was over, I stood up and said, well, congratulations, you ate zebra for the first time. And some of the people went like, I don't want zebra in my stomach. But we trusted God for, you know, to provide. And my wife and I, we are missionaries for 9 years. And even when we started the church, we didn't have money. And we had to depend on God to provide every day for our clothing and for, you know, our sustenance.
Yeah, here, we tended to rely on MasterCard, you know, and we rely on, you know, the power that we have. And a lot of us are lulled into really thinking that we don't really need God's power. And so I think this is really what Jesus is talking about, this whole idea of sustenance, where manna was falling from heaven in the nation of Israel, and people had to depend on God to go out and
That's
get their
right.
basic sustenance.
That's right.
And so make the transition for us then, how Jesus is like bread, because that's his whole point that pastor took a look at, is he is the bread of life. How is that?
Well, I'll give you two reasons why Jesus said he was bread. The first one, Jesus said, I am the bread of life because he can satisfy our soul. He's the only one that can satisfy the soul. Now, bread will satisfy the stomach, will get rid of the hunger, but will not satisfy the soul. And so, some of us and many other people out there in the world, they are looking and trying to do so many things to satisfy their souls. They are trying wealth, some are trying even good things cannot satisfy the soul. It is only when a person believes on the Lord that his soul will be satisfied.
I think this is why it says in John 6:35, that passage we looked at earlier, where Jesus says, whoever feeds on me will never go hungry.
Right.
That when we come to a place where, you know, we see him as the bread of life, mm-hmm. and we receive him and get him into our system,
that's it.
There's a level of inner satisfaction.
Yeah. Another example would be Solomon, who had too many wives. He had wealth. He was knowledgeable, wise man. And he says, all this is vanity. That could not satisfy his soul. And so it is only when a person comes to relationship with the Lord that he can satisfy his soul. And the second reason why Jesus said he was the bread of life is because his body was broken for us. The night before he was arrested to be crucified, he was having a last meal with his disciples. And the Bible tells us that he took bread and broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. Eat it. Now, Jesus is the bread because his body was broken. Many of us might have seen the Passion, how his body was broken. And he was, forced a crown of thorns which hurt his head, given 39 lashes. And all that was because of us. The Bible tells us also that he carried our sins. He carried our sicknesses. He's the man of sorrow. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Everything that happened on him that day, it was because of us. God had to forsake him. He could not even look at him because of our sins that were laid on him. He became our bread of life.
I think it's one of the fascinating things for me about the whole, when Jesus breaks the bread back in that time, in that Jewish culture, the greatest thing you could do for somebody is to actually eat with them, to dine with them, because that was saying that I want to have communion with you, which is why we call breaking bread and having wine together communion. And the only way that we could have communion with God is if Jesus was broken for us, because we deserve to be broken, because we've got these sins that block us from God. And so that breaking of the bread is symbolic of how God wants to have an eternal relationship with us, and how that happened through Jesus having his body broken on the cross. And I kind of laugh when I hear people talk about the Passion, like, oh, all the blood, all the gore, all the, what? Well, that's the whole point. Yeah. That's the whole point, is that God wants communion, and there must be brokenness for us to have communion with him. Talk to us a little bit, how do you eat the bread of life, or how do we consume that? How does that make an impact for us?
Well, there's only one way we can eat the bread of life: by believing on the Lord Jesus, by believing on him. We've got to remember that Jesus has done everything that needed to be done for us to be reconciled to God. There's nothing that we've got to do. He defeated Satan. He went to the cross on our behalf. He carried our sins. All we've got to do, if there's anything we need to do, is to believe. That is why Scripture says, if we believe with our hearts, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, then we shall be reconciled with God. So that's what people need to believe. And I found out that reconciled to God, being a believer, being a child of God, is one of the easiest things to do. And unfortunately, churches and preachers, they've made it so difficult with all the laws and rules that we must do this, we must stop this, we must, and that's what Jesus said. He would say, come to me. So he has done everything. And all we've got to do is to believe on him. And Scripture also tells us that if we open our hearts, hear his word, believe his word, then he will come and live in us.
You've seen that happen with a person we've seen on video, Hope. You just told me this the other day when we were out to see Hope. Hope was the girl on the video, had the her child in her lap. I think we got when we went to see her, she was obviously, actually I found out there's a lot of stories. One of the women who we spent time with, who just looked so healthy, you know, unfortunately died recently.
Right. Joyce, her name.
Joyce was her name. She didn't make it to the final edit of the video, unfortunately. But Hope was one who was kind of affiliated with some people who knew Christ, but she herself was not feeding on that bread. And you were talking about, give me a status update on her, because I think it's kind of cool.
Well, with Hope, when we went to see her, she was not a believer. And so after you left, we made some follow-ups, and she started coming to church. We, you know, she walked the road and crossed the line and believed on the Lord. And since then, her body, the improvement was enormous. She can walk, she can do things that she wouldn't do before because of three things. One, because of, you know, faith in the Lord. And secondly, because she has declared her status, when she came to church, the people embraced her, they love her, and that strengthened her. And also, she's now getting some food supplements and nutritions.
Let's talk about that for a bit, because that's where I want to go next. What is the staple food? I kind of jokingly said the staple food here is probably coffee that needs to be chewed. But in your area, the staple food is, how do you say it again?
The staple food is pap. We eat pap with, we can eat pap with meat or chicken or gravy, or you can just mix it with water and just crush it and eat it. Now, pap is it's a crushed corn. And then you boil water, and then you peel it a little bit and thicken up until it's very hard.
Just to help us today, let's do this right now. On the far left of your aisles, there's a canvas bag. Pick that up, pass that down. We've got some to show everybody here. Don't open it yet or anything like that. Just get us started here. We have some stuff that's actually what we're going to take a look at today is not pop, but it's EPOP.
Yeah,
tell us the difference there.
Well, the difference between pop and EPOP is that pop is just maize. We call it millimill. It's just a crushed corn, and that's it. But then with EPOP, they have put some vitamins there. They've added some nutritions. It's very nutritious as compared to the pop.
This is one of the things I learned when I was over in South Africa, is that people, and I knew this before, that people don't die of AIDS. They die of the diseases that they're more prone to as a result of AIDS. But in Africa, what really speeds this up, and you see is people go in, they get a test, and then they die like weeks later sometimes.
Right.
But talk about that.
Well, my wife's cousin, he deteriorated, I guess, in 2 weeks' time from the time he found out that he was HIV positive. He just kind of went boom and just died. Now, some people, in fact, not some, most people, is because they don't eat well. They fill up their stomach with pap, but it doesn't really, nourish their bodies. It doesn't have vitamins and it's not nutritious. And so with the EPAP now, they have added a lot of vitamins so that it will boost immune system. So that's the difference. So many people who are poor and needy because not eating well, they will kind of die quicker than those who, you know, eat nutritious.
And that's one of the reasons why in South Africa it's such a challenge for you guys to have people take an HIV test.
Right.
Because people, they don't want to know if they have it or not. And then once they have it, they have a really negative attitude. And then they don't take care of themselves. And they die in 2 weeks, boom, out like that. And your church is really unusual as far as addressing the whole AIDS crisis.
Yeah. Well, it started by a lady called Jackie. And she said to me, Pastor, you seem to be relevant to our community. We love your messages, but you're not helping your church members. I said, what do you mean? He says, some of the members, she's a nurse, they come to our center and they're HIV positive and you say nothing about it from the pulpit. And so she said, give me 10 minutes next week on Sunday on your program and then I want to educate the people about AIDS. And so I did that. She talked about it. And then after a week, she came back and said, I want to bring somebody who is HIV positive to disclose their status. That will help the people to talk about it and to know that other people. So I said, well, you're the boss, let's do it. So, and God used Jackie to sow seeds in my life, because churches and Christians in South Africa, they think, they believe that AIDS is God's punishment and judgment on immoral people. And so that's why churches got nothing to do with HIV, with people who are positive. They don't talk about it. And so God used Jackie to stir me up. And so we launched at the church what we call VTC, that's voluntarily testing and counseling, for our church and also for the community, that people can come to church and be tested HIV within 15 minutes, they get results. And so when we started telling the church members that you can be tested, they didn't want to go. But soon after that, people started going. And so we are leading as far as AIDS is concerned.
Titus told me if you grabbed 10 people out in the street and you had them all take tests, 6 of them would be HIV positive.
That's what we told, yes.
It's just stunning. And your church is the one that's leading the charge in your area. And that's one of the reasons I feel such a partnership with you, is because a lot of times our church takes heat for some of the things that we do and some of the things that we say and some of the things we talk about, because it just doesn't seem like you should talk about that in church. And that's garbage. You talk about in church what God's doing in the area and what you need to deal with. And so we've taken some heat for that, and it's really cool for me to hear. I'm not glad you're taking heat for it, but it's cool for me to hear. It's another example of how we need to really partner together, because you're really stepping, you're putting your neck out in the line.
In fact, I did a message at the church about, which was the first time, you know, for this kind of message in the church. I've been a believer now for 22 years. I've never heard it. So I talked about the good, the ugly, the bad, and the ugly of sex, right in church. And the way it was so quiet, there was such an embarrassed silence. If you drop a penny, you will hear it. And so, but then people appreciated it. You know, so we're taking the bull by the horns.
I just put a shameless advertisement in here in the form of a challenge. Folks, this is why, in our crazy campaign, we have got to be serious about building this AIDS hospice and mortuary center over at Titus's place. It's for people like Hope, who we saw. It's for people like Jackie. And we have the unique ability to give basic sustenance to them. And that's why we're lopping that into our campaign. And it's an honor for us to do that. So how do you that's a form of us sharing the bread of life. Well, that's really what you're supposed to do when you have the bread, isn't it? Is share it.
Right. When you look at the same scripture, after Jesus broke the bread, the young boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then so he gave them to Jesus, he blessed them. And then he broke the bread, each piece, gave it to each disciple, and said, you give it to the people. Now, Jesus did not take those bread from the boy and prayed that God will multiply them. No. He gave each disciple a piece, and people were set in rows and said, you give it to them. And so they, each one of them faced his row of maybe 500. And then as he broke the bread multiplied right in their hands. And I believe that they grew up spiritually. That experience was such a great experience in their lives. So once we have received the bread, we need to share it with other people. And so some of us here, many of us, might have received the bread, might have believed on the Lord, and it's not only for ourselves. God has done that so that we will be channels to be a blessing to others. And God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Sometimes when God blesses us, he had other people in mind. It's not only for you and for me. Yes, I will enjoy the blessing, but God has got other people in mind that he wants them to be blessed through me. And so there are a couple of ways where we can share the bread of life. The first one is we can invite people to church to come and experience what we have experienced. That's the first thing we can do. The second thing we can tell people our story. We can share our story. I remember scripture tells us of a man who lived in the cemetery. And nobody could tame him. He would cut himself with rocks. And after Jesus delivered him, he wanted to follow Christ. And said, no, don't follow me. Go to the village and tell people good things have done for you. And as a result of this man going down telling the village, many people were helped. The Samaritan woman who was a prostitute, the Bible tells us, after he met Christ, she went also and tell her story. And the scripture says many people believed in the Lord because of the story of this woman. So some of us can do that. But I believe what we all can do to share the bread of life is we can give. So that even those who are not yet in the church will be able to come. And when I look at Crossroad, last time I was here, there were not so many people as there are at Crossroad. I believe God is moving here. But there are still thousands of people out there who needs to come and be blessed. And you can make that happen by your generosity so that bigger space is created so that more people can come and be touched. So that's what we can do. And so I want to challenge you that as you have been blessed, your life is different, your marriage is different. Some of you, things have begun to work out since you started coming to Crossroad. And there are many people who are where you used to be. And they need to enjoy what you are enjoying today. And with this crazy campaign, you can make a difference. Not only for yourselves, but for others. And in my final, in closing, I want to tell you about our church. When we started the church and we were growing, when we reached 500, we were renting a hall. We couldn't grow beyond the place where we were meeting. God is very intelligent God. He couldn't send people because there was no way we would put the people. And yet there were so many people out there who needed to be touched by the Lord, but God couldn't bring them. And so when we talk about expanding, and it was a little bit difficult for our people because they enjoyed the community. We knew everybody in the church. And so they felt that if we expand, then that might tamper with our community. And I said, we shouldn't just look only for ourselves. God has done this so that others can come and be blessed. And so we began to move from that place and we built a 2,000-seater auditorium and God has filled it up. And so if we stayed at the 500-seater building, what about those souls, those people? You know, so I want
to
challenge.
And that's uniquely equipping you to minister to people who are dying of AIDS.
That's right. And so we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't be where we are today if we were, you know, we just kind of remain with the few that we had. And so I want to leave with this challenge, with this crazy campaign, that you can make a huge difference in marriages, in lives, and you will be blessed, you will come and receive, but much more than what you and your family, the kids that have been taken care around here, but there are many, many thousands of people that can come and be blessed. One lady, Jane, we were praying and she saw this vision during the day. We were praying and there were people in heaven and they were rejoicing. And then she heard the Lord saying to her, Jane, who is there because of you? Meaning people who will go to heaven, they go there because somebody told them. Some people took the pains to make it possible for them.
Pop the top of that little EPOP thing you have, that little thing EPOP. One of the ways that Jesus had such a powerful ministry is that he identified with us. He was in heaven and he took on flesh and identified with us and came down to earth. What you have right there is EPOP. It's not pop. Pop is the basic food that people eat in South Africa.
Right.
But it has no nutritious value. In fact, one of the women, you couldn't see it on her plate in the video. She had a plate and she was eating just pop with her hands. And it's filler, basically. It fills your stomach, but there's no nutritional value. And this is what we do as Americans. We have all kinds of things that fill us. But there's no real sustenance. There's no value to it. There's no energizing effect on our spirits. It fills us. So we go out and we try to fill ourselves with more money. We go fill ourselves with more job promotion. We go try to fill ourselves with more sex. We go fill ourselves with more, bigger biceps, smaller waist. We go fill ourselves with all these things. And in the moment, we feel satisfied because We feel full, but really it doesn't sustain us and it offers us no significant value. And this is why people die so quickly of AIDS, is they have nothing that really nourishes them. This pop does nothing for them. And that's why you have in yourself what is the prime staple for people who have AIDS, and that is EPOP.
Right.
And we're going to have a chance to taste this right now. And you told me that this means a lot to your people, for those of us who want to taste this. Why does this mean a lot to your people?
When I left, I told our church that I'm taking EPOP to Crossroads. And Brian and I, we kind of talked about it, that with our partnership, when you will taste the EPOP, you'll be identifying, even though you're in the U.S., you'll be identifying with the people that are suffering from AIDS. And people were very, very much taken by the fact that we were bringing EPOP here for you to taste it. And so that's how, you know, people are so excited about you tasting.
So your people are feeling a unique connection.
That's right.
Just that we over here at Partner Church are going to taste the basic sustenance that people.
That's right.
Well, let's do that if you're up for that. And this is exactly how they eat it. No forks or anything like this. They just kind of. That's actually tastier than I anticipated it being.
Mm-hmm.
and we didn't spike this with any syrup or anything like that.
That's, oh, no, that's how it is.
No, that's good stuff. Well, I shouldn't say it's good stuff. That's sustaining stuff there. It's interesting to me how just the little things can make a big difference.
Yep.
Titus, we're just so honored that you and Eleanor were able to come all the way from South Africa. I think that we've all gotten a little deeper perspective on who God is. And what this thing called life is all about. Would you pray for us?
Yes, I'll do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the unspeakable gift of God. Thank you for having given us the faith to believe. It is not the work of our own. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. We are so grateful. And we do pray that you will help us as your people to think of others, to share with others what we've got, with our resources, to make it viable for others, and with our telling our stories. Pray that as we leave this place, we will leave here our souls, our spirits fulfilled because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One other thing, for those of you who are serving on our crazy campaign team, on any one of those teams, we've got about 2,000 people, I think, don't want to have you forget that 1 o'clock today, we've got a meeting, lunch is here, and Titus is going to be with us again for that, so don't miss that back here at 1 o'clock. Let's give Titus a hand. I think that he took us to another level, huh? Awesome. All right, we'll see you. Have a great day.